Hey guys, it's Lindsay and Akib, and today we on In Truth Be Told, we have Priya, who is a first-year dental student at UNC. She is going to tell us some really interesting things about gap years. That's kind of the topic of discussion for today, since a lot of pre-dental students have questions or concerns about taking gap years, so we're just going to start exploring that topic.
All right, and before we start, we just wanted to just get back into touch and see how our lives have been since our last episode with Shad. So, Lindsay, how was your spring break?
It was awesome. It was so good not to have to do any schoolwork or work in the COD lab until 8 o'clock at night. It was awesome. I went to New Orleans for a couple of days.
Nice.
Tried to pawn off my dog at my dad's house, which didn't quite work out well, but that's something for another day. But yeah, so I went and explored New Orleans for 3 days. Ate at some really great restaurants. Really enjoyed the music there and kind of the overall casual, like, big, easy lifestyle. So it was awesome. How was yours?
Nice. Mine was good, too. I went to D.C.
Okay.
Stayed there for, like, a couple days. Went to all the free public museums.
Okay.
And went to Georgetown and ate so much.
It's not the best part of spring break. It's the eating.
They had some really good Thai place. And crepes and bubble tea.
Okay.
I was like, it was great.
Did you go with your family or friends?
I went with 4 friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And just like, I really like DC. I can see myself living there.
Yeah?
Honestly, yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
What about you, Priya? What'd you do?
I just went home. I have my family and friends and stuff are in Charlotte. So my kind of getaway from Chapel Hill is 2 hours away in Charlotte. So I just got a lot of good food and got to hang out with my family and friends and see my boyfriend, which is a treat. So
nice.
Nothing too crazy.
Bus City represent.
704.
How's been your running?
Bree and I were talking about this on the way over to the studio. So, so running has pretty much been non-existent since the semester had started. And it's not that I don't want to run. It's just that we have so much work every single day. And it's one of those things where I feel like if I were to start running, then in the middle of the run, I'd get really stressed out that I'm not doing schoolwork. Like,
really?
You feel guilty about it. Yeah. So a quick little story. Priya and I were walking the race. We were just walking the outline of the race for the Cleft Palate Gallop that's coming up, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. But we were just going over the race because we're the event coordinators for the day. So we wanted to see what it was going to look like and how to mark it out and everything. And the next day, we were sore all over, literally from walking 3.1 miles. And Priya and I were pretty good runners before this. Like, I ran a half marathon. I know that Priya's gone longer distances than a 5K, so it's actually really embarrassing.
I mean, there's some uphills on that racetrack.
Okay, thank you, Akib, for making us feel better. But I called my sister, who is, like, the really competitive runner, Catherine, and she was giving me all these techniques for, like, stretching out your hip and, like, getting a tennis ball and doing muscle massages. I was like, this is sad. Like, I can't even walk a 5K.
This is the moment when you know you're, like, getting old.
Right.
Because you're like, I wake up and I'm sore after walking, like, a couple miles.
Well, because the most that we ever walk is, like, a mile, and it's within the dental school.
Yeah, it's really sad.
So I kept the running's not going well, but thank you for bringing that up.
Okay. Well, so the Cleft Palate Gallop, it's next Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Registration ends April 5th. It's $25.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be great. The race course in itself is extremely beautiful.
No, it really is. Yeah, there. So a lot of it goes on campus itself. We go by the Old Well, which is a like a famous landmark at UNC. Mm-hmm.
It starts at Old Meadow, right?
It starts at yeah, it does. And the starting of the race is going to be really fun this year. So last year I think they had music as well, but this year we have a couple more surprises that are going to be taking place at the beginning.
Nice.
So I think like fun, like color run style kind of surprises. And this year we're also really pushing the fun walk. So we're doing like a dog walk sort of thing.
Cool.
So if you bring your dog, then like your dog gets treats and like little souvenirs from the race as well. But the course is really pretty. It goes all the way around Chapel Hill. It goes through, like, some neighborhoods in the back of UNC. And it's really pretty.
Yeah.
It's not too hard either.
I agree. And the race is on 7:30 next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, there's the carnival. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm registered and signed up. And I actually have been running. And my running.
Because you had an injury.
I did have an injury. And I had a knee injury back in December because I was running too much on the treadmill. So
a problem to have.
So I was out of the race for 2 weeks, 2 months. So no running on January and February.
Wow.
And half of March. Then I got back into it after spring break. So I actually ran a 3 miles yesterday just for a quick test.
So are you running for competition or for completion?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not expecting to be like top 10 on the race on Saturday, but I want to get better. I want to do better than my PR.
So. What's your PR?
26 flat.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got 28 flat yesterday, so I don't know.
Well, you're also coming.
You got time.
Yeah.
All right. What else before we get into this episode with Priya? How has been dental school for you so far?
I was going to say our semester is finishing up. We got a message from our class president that we've only got 3 weeks left, which is nuts to me.
Oh, 3 weeks, wow.
Yeah, so we're finishing up. And we have White Coat Ceremony, which is coming up, and that's super exciting.
When is that?
April 20th.
Yeah, that's on April 20th. Yeah. We get our white coats, and we have, like, family and friends come and support us and stuff like that. We get to take fancy pictures and stuff, so... That's really exciting. Light at the end of the tunnel, I guess.
Finally. Just like after all the exams. But no, dental school this semester, I think it's, I think Priya would agree, it's a lot tougher than first semester. So I think first semester was more like figuring out what dental school is like and basically like what's going to be required of you. And it's not that the information was hard, it was just that there was a lot of it. But this semester... it's like if you took first semester and multiplied it by five and then condensed it a lot.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a lot of classes all the time. Like we're working on plastic teeth, but learning how to operate hand pieces is a lot different than learning how to construct a tooth out of wax. So like you have to be so precise all the time. And it's a lot of stuff on top of like very detail-oriented classes.
It's just a lot. Somebody compared it one time to like drinking out of like a fire hose. Like you have just all of this information all the time that you're trying to absorb and take in and try to remember because I'm always like, well, what if I need this? You know, what if this piece of information is super important? So I'm always trying to like remember everything, but it's a lot all the time. And it's kind of, you just don't really stop. And besides spring break, I think that was our only big break this semester. So that was also different. Last semester, we got a lot of breaks.
One plus two, we have boards coming up as well. And so it's really stressful in class whenever the professor will be like, oh, you need to know this for your boards. And you're like, oh, my gosh, we have boards too. Like, it's not just finals.
Right.
And it's not just about seeing patients in, like, a little bit more than a month. But it's also like, oh, you have this really big thing called boards. And you have to pass it. So good luck. So it's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot.
I heard that this is the hardest semester. So we'll see. But I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good that you guys are still sticking up to it.
Right.
And
or trudging
along.
Trying.
All right, Lindsay, you want to do the honor of introducing Priya?
Okay, sure. Hey, guys. So this is Priya Chokshi. She is a first-year dental student here at UNC. She is a really awesome person. She's my best friend in dental school. I'm just going to give her that plug right here real quick. She has been there really great times and really low times. She is a very loyal, compassionate friend. I asked her to be on the show today because we both took gap years, but we kind of approached gap years in a different way. She has always known that she wanted to be a dentist. And I, like we talked about in a couple episodes ago, thought that I wanted to do medical school first. So our approach to what we kind of did during our gap years and how we bettered our applications are a little bit different. So I thought that asking her to be on the show today would really kind of give like a broader perspective and maybe answer some questions that people have been asking.
Yeah, thanks, Lindsay. Thank you so much for that beautiful shout out.
Anytime.
I'm really excited. I had a really interesting experience with applying to dental school, so I'm so happy that I'm able to kind of tell people my story and what happened, and it's not your traditional kind of I went from undergrad right into dental school, so I wish kind of I had heard something like this when I was applying to dental school. And I think your blog and your podcast are amazing, and I'm sure it's helping so many people. So you guys have done an awesome job with this, and I'm so honored to be a part of this today. So thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, it's an honor. So take us back to your undergrad and your story from undergrad to graduation to dental school.
Okay, so that was, I went to Carolina. I went here for undergrad, and I graduated here in 2014. Yeah, 2010 to 2014. And then after that, I...
And you knew you wanted to do pre-dental the whole time?
Yeah, I was pre-dental. I did the pre-dental clubs here. I was shadowing, volunteering, the whole nine yards kind of thing. But I knew I wasn't going to apply during my senior year. So I knew I was going to at least have one gap year. And so during that time, I already knew I was going to need to take my DAT that summer. And then I knew I needed to take, I think physics was my last prereq that I hadn't taken here. So I just took that at a school, UNCC in Charlotte. So that one, that gap year was kind of a planned one. And I kind of went into that one with this false, I guess, impression that I was going to get into school, because coming from a school like Chapel Hill, a lot of students do go straight from undergrad to going right into professional school and going right into dental school. So in my mind, I was like, I'm going to take this year off. It'll be good to have some time off, and then I'll be going right into school. And so I took physics. I applied to, I want to say that was like 10 to 13 schools that year. And I got interviews to, I think, one or two that year while I was finishing up physics. And then I was on the wait list, I think, for a school or something like that, something along, I think, for one of the schools. And it just never worked out. And so it's a really difficult place to be in, like waiting in that period to think, is this going to work out? Am I going to have to plan a whole nother gap year, basically? Or am I going to be going into school? So that didn't end up working out. So I needed to kind of figure out ways to better improve my application.
Right.
I met with a pre-health advisor at UNCC in Charlotte. And she was amazing, very helpful, super knowledgeable about things that students had done in the past to better their application and have been successful getting into dental school. So I talked to her. She had recommended my GPA was one of the things that I needed to improve on. Some of my prereqs from my first couple years in Chapel Hill weren't stellar. So it was just the reality of it. And so she had told me to take a kind of a full year of classes mimicking kind of a post-bac program, but just taking undergrad classes there, higher level biology classes, ones that I had never taken before. And so that way it would show the committee that I'm interested in continuing my education and whatnot. And also I have the ability to kind of undertake a course load that was really similar to one that I would have in dental school. So I did that. That was my second year, was four classes per semester, higher level bio classes, ones that I had never taken before. And she basically told me up front, you need to make all A's in these if you want to really bump your GPA up. And so I was able to do that. I continued shadowing, volunteering, all of those types of things. And then my third year was, that was the year where I felt like my application was in a much better spot. My GPA was much better than it was before. And that was the year that I was like, okay, I'm going to apply. And there's nothing else that I can really do from here on out. Now it's just kind of the waiting process. Let me see if interviews work out and stuff like that. And so that was the year that I moved back up to Chapel Hill and actually got a job at the UNC Cancer Hospital in their like clinical trials unit. So that was a really cool experience. And that was during the time when I was going on interviews. And that year I actually got a good number of interviews. I was really lucky. So in February, I think, was when we had the interview and heard back about UNC. And probably one of the best days of my life, getting that phone call and hearing that I was in. So all the hard work had paid off. And then we started up school in August, so August 2017, and now I'm a first year.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So I have a quick question. When you got the rejection emails, I guess the first two times, did you ever have the sense of like, well, maybe I don't want to do dentistry?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure that, so I only had to apply once, but I took multiple gap years. So I never, like, I don't know what it's like to get that email and kind of, did you ever like waver in deciding if you still wanted to do this?
I mean, I think it's natural, like your human nature, if something doesn't work out and you're just like continuing a process and it's just not working out, it's very difficult to not think about that. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely have periods of time. My mom, I come from a family where my mom is very much in, like, the medical. She's a physical therapist. So I always got that exposure. But my dad is like the complete opposite, and he's in business and stuff. So there was a period of time where I was like, maybe this was just somebody giving me the sign mm-hmm. that like this just isn't meant to be, and like I should be doing something else. Maybe there's something else out there that can make me just as happy as I think dentistry will. So there was definitely periods of time where I was like, maybe this isn't what I want to do. But I'm one of those people who I don't want to live with regret. So I knew if I didn't like put everything into it mm-hmm. and do everything I could to make my application a lot better, then I would always regret that and think, what if? And just every time I walked away from shadowing and volunteering, I was like, this is like where I want to be. This is the career that I want. And I could see myself so perfectly fitting into this mm-hmm. community of dentists. So, I think having that in the back of my mind was like, no, this is what I want to do. Like, this is something that I'm super passionate about, and I think I'd be really good at it if given the chance to do it. So that kind of kept me on track, even when I kind of had those doubts in my mind about maybe dental school isn't the thing for me. Just keeping that in your back of your mind and persevering mm-hmm. through those kind of obstacles. And it was worth it at the end of the day. So has a good ending.
Right. So one thing, like, after you graduate, So I'm also going to take gap years.
Okay.
And one of my biggest fears is, like, I'm going to feel lost. You know, like, in undergrad, you're in this cycle of taking yes. classes every single semester, and everything's different. But, like, after I graduate, there's not going to be much to do, you know? Like, the workload and my time is going to free up so much.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the scariest things for me. Like, I feel like I'm going to hit, like, a quarter-life crisis when that happens.
It's an interesting period of time because you're in this limbo of not sure, like, where your life is going to go. And you suddenly, like you said, you have all this time. I mean, you go to Carolina, so you know your time is pretty filled with right. school and activities and stuff. So, yeah, it's an interesting period of time where suddenly you have a lot of time to do things. But I think Lindsay and I were talking about it, and I think mm-hmm. the best thing to do during your gap year is to not, like, take it easy and be like, I'm going to go travel and stuff. Like, those type of things are awesome to do, but I think you should really make the most of that time off, and you have more time to do maybe opportunities that you couldn't do before. So I knew people who worked in a dental office, like, that would have been really difficult to make work while you're, you know, an undergraduate right. student who's got a really weird schedule and stuff. But this gives you the opportunity to commit to a job or something, like we both had jobs. So mm-hmm. it's a good time to kind of explore things that hopefully you're passionate about, but mm-hmm. also are things that, you know, you're bettering your application, and there are things that you could talk about during your interviews and stuff like that. So you just got to make the most of it, I think.
Yeah, like I was, so right after college, so I went to Wake Forest, and it kind of sounds pretty similar, like the curriculum to UNC. But I know that I was really scared about graduating and being like, okay, now what? You know, like, because it's like multifaceted, because you see on Facebook that some of your friends are going to professional school.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
they're getting yes. their life started.
Right.
And yes. then you're just kind of like, okay, well, I'm just, like, going to sit back here then
and wait.
Yeah. And so, but I think that gap years are really awesome. I've been pushing people to take gap years if they can. Pri and I were talking about this. Like, gap years are so good for so many reasons. So before you go to college, you're probably living with your parents or family members, and they make all the decisions of the household. Like, they pay the rent, they have the job, they buy the groceries for you. Like, you just kind of live there. And in college, for most of the people, I assume it's kind of the same thing. Like, you have your schedule laid out for you.
Right.
And some people might have jobs, but it's not like full-time jobs mm-hmm. most of the time. So if you don't take gap years, you're kind of expected to go from living with your family before college, living in college where you have responsibilities, but they're just like their classes, and then going to professional school, and then right after professional school, if you're a dentist, running a business. And it's like, well, when did I ever learn how to, like, be self-sufficient?
Yeah, mm-hmm. be an adult.
Be an adult, exactly. Like, when did I ever learn how to work a job ever? So I think that gap years are a really great thing, and I think people look at gap years and they're like, oh, it's because you didn't get into school, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like
when I tell people
upon.
I'm taking a gap year, there's like this silence, like, oh, okay.
They're like, oh
yeah. Which I think is so sad.
Yeah,
because like
it is really sad.
It's not like it's not like everybody is forced into taking gap year. Like, some people choose to take gap years, but also, like, it's nothing to be ashamed of mm-hmm. or like embarrassed of. Like, I think it's a really great time to grow and learn how to hold a job and learn how to pay bills. And, like, if you get a job and it's one where you have to interact with people, I think that that is such a great way to build like interpersonal relationships and communication skills. And that's really something great that you can talk about in your interviews, because the admissions committee is definitely going to be like, oh, Lindsay, you worked at a nonprofit for people with special needs. Why did you choose that? Why did you decide to do this? You know, like, what did you learn? So I think gap years is a really great time.
And it's so important to, like, when you're in those interviews to, like, really emphasize the stuff that you've learned, like, during your gap year. So if you did have a job, even if it wasn't dinner related, like, you should still be able to talk about that and kind of tie it back to dentistry. But also, I think having a job that's outside of the scope of dentistry isn't always a bad thing. And I think it's something that, like, makes you a little bit more diverse. You know, you're not somebody who's just, I mean, not that it's bad to, like, work in a dental office or something like that, but not everybody has that opportunity to work in a dental office. So I think there's a lot of different jobs that you can have, even, like, outside of your gap year and stuff, that you're still learning to, like, work with people, work with the staff, and all of that stuff ties back to a career that, like, you would have in dentistry and problems that you could possibly have as a dentist in a functioning practice. So important to emphasize that stuff.
Did gap year feel lonely for you guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Very lonely. Yes. And I think that's one of the big cons about taking gap years. Like, while there are all these pros about maturing, I think is the big thing, like the big pro about gap years. For me, it felt so lonely. I moved from Winston-Salem, where I had a ton of friends in college. And like you really don't have time to be alone because you're in classes all the time too, to moving to Greensboro, where I knew nobody. And like, I would go to a job and like I knew people there, but it's not the same.
It's different.
Did you feel lonely, Priya?
Well, for my first year, like I said, I moved back to Charlotte. So like, I have my parents and I have friends there because that's where I grew up. It was a different kind of lonely. It was really difficult. Like Lindsay said, you're seeing on social media, you're seeing your friends like get married and move to do their dream job and stuff. And you just feel like very stuck sometimes that you're like in this weird limbo and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get into school and like be able to do what I want to do kind of thing. And meanwhile, you're like watching other people kind of, and it's so hard not to kind of compare your life to other people's and to kind of want the kind of things that they're doing. So in that way it was kind of lonely, and I felt like going back to Charlotte, I felt like I was like taking a step back, like after being like, I just graduated college, like most people are like getting their first big job and stuff like that, and here I was like moving back home and like not really sure like what was going to be the next step. So that was really frustrating for me, and one of the probably hardest parts about a gap year is just not knowing and waiting to see. It's up to an admissions committee if you're into school or not. So
yeah, I think one of the big questions that like circled in my gap years was, is it worth it?
Yeah,
because it's like, what, I'm taking gap years, like I'm not moving ahead in life.
Yeah,
and it's taking off years that I can actually be practicing
or doing another job. Or doing another job if it just doesn't work out.
Like, you know. I thought so many times I should have gone to business school. Like, I would have a job by now.
That's why I was saying my dad, like, he was in business. I was like, maybe that's the thing that I'm meant to do. Maybe this is just somebody being like, you know, don't do dentistry. Yeah, it's a sign from somebody up there that is just like, do something else. You could be happy doing something else. And there's nothing to say one way or the other. I mean, I could have been happy doing something else, but I'm super happy that dentistry worked out because we have a really cool career and. Get to
in
work
a couple
with
of
your
years.
Hands all day.
First, got to get through all these board exams.
You got to get through the tough stuff. But
so, Lindsay, one thing you said that stuck out to me is like during gap year, you're like, it's not like my life is moving ahead, not moving ahead in life. Can you talk a bit about that and like how you overcame it?
Yeah. So, so what I mean by that is, and looking back on it, I think you can like at instances and you're like, you know what, I'm kind of glad that I took that gap year. Like in the moment, you get so consumed, like what Priya was saying about. And I really think it's about looking at social media or even just like talking to your friends who have jobs, and you're looking at it and you're like, okay, well, I just finished classes and now I'm working a job that I know that I am probably not going to be pursuing for the rest of my life. And while everybody else is in professional school and pursuing stuff that they want to do, or you're thinking like, I am taking classes again. And, like, I just finished classes. I know why I'm taking this, but, like, I'm not moving towards my goal. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But looking back on it, I think that a lot of the experiences that I went through during my gap years, like, I ended up taking classes at four different colleges because I moved around. So I have little flags from each one of them. But that and like my bio says, I was pre-med during my during college, mm-hmm. and then I was an EMT and a medical assistant. So I'm really glad that I took this gap year, so otherwise I'd be in medical school. Not that medical school is bad. We walked by the medical school yesterday and was like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? So I think that I did move ahead in during my gap years, and I did mature, and I think that it made me a more mature person. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I was trying to say, like, end of the story, I think what I was trying to say is, in the moment, it doesn't feel like you're moving ahead, yes. because you're comparing yourself to others who didn't have to take gap years, or they didn't have to take as many gap years. Mm. And you're just watching them, like, pursue their life, whether that be relationships or professional school or just their jobs, like moving towards higher positions or something. So
yeah, it's a weird time, and you're kind of just filling this time. You feel very stagnant, and it sometimes feels like you're moving backwards. But like Lindsay said, in the moment, it's very difficult to appreciate that stuff, and it's mm-hmm. very easy to feel frustrated with where you are. But looking back on it now, I'm so grateful that I had that chunk of time mm-hmm. in between school. And I think just knowing now how intense dental school is and how much we have to study all the time, mm-hmm. it's really hard for me to imagine going straight from undergrad here at UNC and then going straight into professional school with basically like a summer as a break. Like, I was so happy that I had this year in between where I was taking classes for part of the time, but also I was like working a job, and I had a 9-to-5 where I could go home, and at 5 o'clock mm-hmm. like my work was done, and I got to go home and work out and hang out with my roommate and stuff like that. So it's an interesting period of time in your life.
But. So you say like gap year feels like you're going backwards. How did you overcome that feeling?
I think a lot of it was, like, if I went to shadowing and volunteering, like I said before, like, that just kind of helped reinstate, like, this is what I really want to do, and this is the whole, like, goal of it. And right now it might feel really bad, and this is not a period of time that I'm really, like, enjoying in my life, but it's for the greater good of this is something, like, pursuing something that, like, I want to do for the rest of my life kind of thing, and pursuing a goal that I've had since middle school. So mm-hmm. It was kind of, for me, it was just keeping in mind. I also had a lot of good, like, family and friends and mentors that kind of kept me on track mm-hmm. and kind of reminded me that, like, hey, you've been working for this for forever. Like, this is something that you're so passionate about. Like, no, you can't do something else. Like, we've heard you talk about dental-related mm-hmm. stuff for so long. So it's helpful to have other people in your life that are kind of, like, helping to remind you, like, why you love something so much, because it's easy in that moment to be frustrated and be like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's too tough kind of thing. So having a good support system is really important, too.
I agree with Priya. One of the things that I did, which I still do with, like, future goals for me, graduation from dental school.
whenever that happens.
Whenever. We're counting down the days.
You're not even done with first year.
I know. It's been a really long month, okay? but one of the things that I did was I kept a journal, and every time that I would get done shadowing, I'd write cool stuff that I saw, whether that was, like, a cool procedure.
Yes.
Or it was more of just, like, interactions with patients. Or if so I really like working in special needs populations. Whenever I would shadow a dentist who worked with a special needs individual, I would write down what that experience was like for me. Right. And I did that on purpose because it served as, like, my, I guess, like, my inspiration / goal notebook. And I would refer back to that whenever I was in the midst of studying for the DAT and it was really lonely in my apartment studying, or I would have to get up for a job that I didn't like to do. And I would just read that and I'd be like, okay, it's going to be worth something. Like, you just have to give it some time, but you're moving towards a goal. Yeah. So that was one of the ways that I overcame it.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, you just have to keep reminding yourself that this is something that you really want.
It's a lot of self-motivation.
Yes, it's a lot of self-motivation and discipline to kind of keep yourself on track. But, I mean, I think that's how in dentistry, like, mm-hmm. you're the dentist. Like, that you're the leader of your clinic and stuff like that. So you kind of have to be able to self-discipline and self-motivate, even maybe on days that you don't want to get up and, like, do your mm-hmm. job kind of thing. So,
how did self-discipline and motivation come into play when you guys were taking classes after undergrad?
So, like, in dental school? Oh, like, like
the post-bac, yeah, gap year classes.
So, for me, because I couldn't afford taking classes at a private university, mm-hmm. A lot of it for me was, like, going to, like, a community college sort of thing and taking night classes and seeing people there that were just taking it to, like, get a pass instead of an A. So we had to take classes that required grade letters. So that was really, sometimes that was hard, like, if you were in group assignments and people are trying to blow assignments off, and you're like, no, like, I need to focus on this because it's important to me.
Yeah.
So being in the room with people that maybe are not as driven as you are, that was really frustrating sometimes. But also having to study on a Friday or Saturday night when you know that your friends are going out, and you're like, no, I know that I'm not in college, but I still need to study. So.
So Priya, you said like your UNCC mentor was like, you need to take this many classes and get all A's. How was that pressure?
It was a lot, but at the same time, I guess since I just was really focusing on school during that period of time, and it didn't feel like it was as intense as it was here at UNC, and I'm not really sure why. I don't know if it's because I just didn't have as much like extracurriculars going on and clubs and stuff. It was really like I was there to do one thing, and that was going to be my main focus, and then I had kind of like volunteering and stuff on the side. But yeah, I think just having that as like your main goal, and I was in my mind, I was like, this is kind of my last like go for it, you know, like I'm going to have to put everything into it, and if it doesn't work out, it's just not meant to be. So that was the big thing in my mind, where I was like, I just have to put my 110% like into this and hope that it works out. So I think the professors at UNCC really appreciated it. Was like what Lindsay was saying, like sometimes you are in group assignments and there's people in your class who are just in it to pass. And so I think the professors at UNCC really appreciated when they saw a student who really cared and like really wanted to do well in their course and stuff. So that also kind of kept me on track with wanting to do well. And they had an awesome pre-health advisor there. So if your school has a pre-health advisor, take advantage of that.
Oh my gosh, go talk to them.
It was, for some reason here at Carolina, we didn't have one. And it's so helpful. This was a woman who, like, she had years of experience helping people get into all sorts of, like, professional schools and stuff. And dentistry was one of them. And she had all the sorts of advice and just people that she knew of. And it's just so helpful to have somebody who kind of has answers for you when you have questions. And you're kind of not sure, like, what decision should I make? What's the best thing to maybe do in my gap year if it's not very obvious on your application, maybe a certain point that you need to improve upon. So definitely take advantage of any kind of pre-health advisor if you can, because she was immensely helpful. And she was the one that basically was like, you don't have to go do a post-bac program. You can just do basically a pseudo post-bac here. And, you know, you just have to make sure that you get all A's in those classes. So.
Priya, I know we talked about this yesterday, but can you kind of highlight some of the things that you would strongly suggest that people do during their gap years? And then we'll talk about things not to do during gap years. Just to become the best applicant that one can
be. Yeah, I think it's very variable on each person and kind of what you need to do specifically. Some of the kind of general things that I learned that maybe I wish I had kind of known going into it. One of the things, take advantage of any kind of advisor that you can, who's going to have more knowledge about leading you in the right direction on how to improve your application. Another thing I would say is to try to make connections with dental schools and the admissions committees there. If you can meet with them in person, that's awesome. Get your name out there. Be somebody that they hear from regularly to really show your interest and show that you're persevering through this kind of weird time in your life, because they know it's weird and they know that this is not a traditional path. So keep in touch with people at school, whether it be dental students, whether it be faculty that maybe you know there, whether it be advisors that are also in the admissions committee and stuff, just any way to kind of get your name there so that they recognize it and they know that this is somebody who's like really cares about our school and cares about dental school and having a career in dentistry. Another thing that I did, well, I had to, like I said, I had to kind of focus on my GPA. I retook my DAT. So those numbers are important, basically. Schools are looking at your numbers, and you need to be able to at least be at the averages, close to the averages. Like, those are a real thing. And so I think that was one of the things coming out of undergrad. I was kind of under the impression that maybe numbers weren't as important, and my extracurriculars and all of those type of things could kind of make up for that. And I think the reality of it, honestly, is that it doesn't, and you do need to have the numbers close to what the schools are looking for, specific numbers, and that's just what it is. So improve upon any of that kind of stuff. Another thing I would recommend is having strong, really strong recommendations, not just ones that are good. So one of the advisor or one of the admissions committees told me that they had looked at my, obviously they had looked at my application, and he was like, one of the things is that your recommendations are good, but they're not stellar. Mm-hmm. They don't make you shine. They don't mm-hmm. make you stand out. So make sure you're picking people, if you can, pick people who are really going to write about how passionate you are about dentistry. They really, really know you. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I kind of took for granted for. Because, you in your first year coming out, I was like, I'm going to get professors where I've done well in their courses. And they kind of know me, but, like, it's not, but I've done well in their course. So, like, they'll write me a good recommendation. And mm-hmm. it probably was good. It's just you want to have somebody who's going to write you a really, really good recommendation if you can kind of get your hands on that. So make connections. Super important. I found a mentor. I got really lucky and found a mentor who was a retired, he was like a dental director for my county at home. And so he had worked for years and years and years as a pediatric dentist at a health department. And he just had so much knowledge to share with me, so much advice and stuff like that. He had connections. So it was just finding somebody like that who's kind of able to steer me in the right direction, give me advice and stuff like that. Was super helpful, and he ended up being a person that wrote my recommendation, because during that gap year, I would meet with him, and we would email back and forth and talk about different dental research and different articles. Like, he would shoot me articles, and I would have a conversation with him about it. So that really showed to him, rather than just telling someone I'm really passionate about dentistry, mm-hmm. it was showing somebody that, like, I really did care about this, and I'm willing to put in the time and effort to get to know what this career is all about. And so I think having a really strong recommendation from somebody who truly knows you and knows why you're in this is so important. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of, I think, the main things that, for me at least, I found that I learned that I didn't really know coming out of undergrad. And I kind of wish I would have known.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I would add is also make sure that you're still volunteering.
Oh, yeah.
So in undergrad, we have these things called mom clinics. So they're the Mission of Mercy clinics. And basically, they are dental clinics that are set up in different cities, and they help the underprivileged and underserved individuals mm-hmm. of that community. But I would definitely suggest still volunteering a lot, yes. because that definitely shows to committees that you're a passionate person who is passionate about dentistry. So whether that be going to an underserved dental clinic in your community itself, or even if you want to go to a dental office and volunteer to help in any mm-hmm. way that you can there. That's yes. the only thing that I would add.
Highly recommend. You want to show the committee that you are very passionate about this career and mm-hmm. you're going to do everything possible that you can do to get to know as well as you can what this career is all about, and that you're a really good fit for that. So getting to know all aspects. So volunteering in a clinic, doing those types. I worked with Give Kids a Smile through a health department. So if you can find connections through a health department, they have a lot of different initiatives, and sometimes even have, the one I worked at had two dental clinics associated with it. So I got to be a dental health intern there. I got to work with their Give Kids a Smile through there, and through all of those different experiences, that was one of my first public health dentistry experiences. Mm-hmm. So getting to know all aspects of dentistry, the good, the bad, all of it, it's so important. And so doing any of those activities that you can get your hands on is very, very important.
Yeah, there's also, just real quick, on the ASDA application, in case anybody hasn't looked at it before, there's also a spot specifically for volunteering. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that it's paragraph form. So you just kind of list different volunteering activities that you've done and how many hours.
Yeah.
And you cannot lie about that, because they do check up on it. Mm. So making sure that you are continuously mm-hmm. Able to add to that paragraph is very important, because I know that during my application, at least, my interviewers printed that out and they asked me specific questions about yep. that. Wow. So make sure that you still volunteer. Yeah.
I liked your idea. I started doing that for a couple of, I did a mission trip and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but having that journal and yeah. writing down experiences mm-hmm. and stuff, because it's kind of easy in that moment to be like, oh, I really appreciate this. This is such a cool mm-hmm. experience. And then sometimes you kind of forget over time.
That
just naturally
true.
You forget. So having yeah. a journal or something where you're just even just jotting down little notes and reminders of maybe important patient interaction mm-hmm. experiences or something that you learned, all of that is so handy then when you're going to go back and you're preparing for your interviews and you're building your application, being able to cite specific things mm-hmm. and talk about specific experiences and stuff is really crucial. So that's a really great idea to have an ongoing journal, or even just a document on your computer, just jotting down little notes and stuff.
Yeah.
before we move on to things for not to do during the gap year, we're just going to do a quick summary of what you just said. So, like, keep your numbers strong, so, like, GPA and focus on your DAT. Mm-hmm. And then you said do more shadowing and volunteering.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else we should focus?
Just try to make connections in the community. Try, if you can have a mentor or anything like that, those are super helpful. And then just focus on, if you can have a really great recommendation, make sure the people you're picking for your recommendation truly know you and know how passionate you are about dentistry.
I would also just add to that, if you have to find a job for, like, gaining residency or just financial reasons in general, try to pick a job that speaks to some sort of character that is looked for in a dentist. So, like, compassion or serving individuals. Mm-hmm. So just, like, be mindful of what kind of jobs you decide and be able to explain to a community why you chose that profession.
Yeah.
So. And before we, I have one more question. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like a lot of people might try to do way too much, put too much on their plate in the gap, you know, like, I have to do this volunteering, I have to do research, I have to do keep my grades up. What advice would you have for them? Because, I mean, they already feel like they haven't been up par because they're in the gap, you know?
Right.
So, like, what advice might you have for them?
So I would suggest looking at what you're lacking in most.
Yeah.
So if your GPA is a 2.5, you probably need to focus on classes and then try to do, like, a volunteer activity once a month or something, if you can, for a couple of hours. But I would really suggest looking at stuff that you're most lacking in. I will say, though, that I would definitely, definitely very strongly recommend taking some sort of class during your gap year, because that is a section on the ASTA application. So it's, I think it's titled, like, courses that have been taken after graduation. And you want to make sure that you can fill out that paragraph. So try to, even if it's, like, an easy class and you don't really need to boost your GPA, like, I took forensics, which I'm never going to use, hopefully. But it was just, like, it looked like a fun class, and it was, like, a filler, I guess. So I would recommend taking a course, but really focusing on what you think you're most lacking in.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. And I think don't spread yourself thin. It's like when they tell you in undergrad, like, don't join, like, 15 clubs. And then that way you can say, oh, I participated in all these clubs. But, like, you didn't have a role in it, basically.
Yeah.
So
that's
I would say pick things, narrow down what you need on your application and do things that you know you're going to be passionate about and be able to talk about why you did those certain things. Because otherwise you're just spreading yourself thin and you're participating in a lot of things that just didn't have a whole lot of meaning. So pick things that you're really going to be passionate about and, like, really want to do and are going to be able to talk about in an interview or on your application.
At any point, did you guys think about doing a master's? I know that's very popular before.
So I know that a lot of our friends did master programs because their grades weren't stellar from undergrad. So they were pretty much forced into doing a master's program. I didn't feel like I really needed to because my GPA was good enough. So I wanted to focus more on gaining some hands-on experience because I felt like I wasn't very strong in that in undergrad. So I personally never considered a master's
program. Yeah. So my GPA wasn't, like, super far, but it did need that little bit of boost. So that's why that year of classes worked okay for me. And building on my undergrad GPA was okay. But I know there's people out there who your undergrad GPA is just kind of past the point of return.
And are we talking about overall GPA or science GPA?
I think both.
I think
but
both.
Yeah, okay. Science is probably, that's where your prereqs are going to be kind of having an impact. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle. From what I've heard and from my own experience was some of those early on, like, prereqs where people kind of struggled. But yeah, I think doing a master's program is smart if that's something. I mean, it's a 2-year commitment. They're not always cheap. Like, it's it's an investment. So, but you get to walk away at least with a master's. Like, for mine, it was, I didn't really walk away. I didn't walk away with any kind of degree or certificate or anything. It was really just for me to improve my undergrad GPA, basically. So I think it depends. It's very dependent on the person and where your GPA is. And that's where I would say go talk to an advisor or somebody who can kind of give you some advice about whether or not you need to go through and invest money into, like, a master's or those post-bac programs. Those are awesome, and they can really boost your GPA. Or you basically on the application, I think, get a new GPA if you're doing a master's or a post-bac.
So
you have, like, a graduate GPA. So that's good if your GPA maybe from undergrad is a little bit past the point of return and you need something to kind of start over. But I know multiple people in our class who have done those. And
it's actually really helped them in dental school courses because a lot of the times, like, especially if they're taking a post-bac that is catered towards dental students. They'll teach courses that you would take during your first year. So maybe you went to an undergrad where you're like, yeah, the undergrad itself wasn't very competitive, or I didn't really feel like I learned a whole lot to prepare me enough for dental school. Then I would, even if your GPA is great, or if you really struggle in academics, I would, that's when I would suggest some sort of long-term academic commitment.
So when I went through for picking out those classes for the year, I got really lucky because UNCC actually has like a, I think it's like a microbiology, like, I guess, focus for their biology degree, which is an option, which is really cool because they have a lot of courses that are similar to what we took in, what we're taking in our first year. So like immunology, bacterial genetics and stuff like that, microbiology, like those are all things that I took during that 1 year. And it's actually been really helpful now going, because we're going through these classes at like lightning speed. So it's it's really nice to have some like familiarity to those classes already coming into dental school. So
it's also really maybe nice pick sitting next classes. To Priya, who's going through these classes.
No, it's helped like, so
Priya,
much.
Can you explain that to me later?
And like some of our friends will pull out like their material from their post-bac or from their master's degree, and it's super helpful. So it's not a bad idea to kind of focus on maybe like a science kind of post-bac or master's.
Okay, great. Now the next transition, what not to do during gap years.
Okay,
what
so not to Priya do. And I have strong opinions about this. So one of the things that I would really recommend not doing. So I'm going to give a shout out to my little sister, Catherine, right now, who, and Catherine, I know, is going to listen to this, but she said it was fine to use her as an example, so I'm going to. So Catherine just graduated from Wake Forest, and she's not pre-med. She's not pre-dental. She's pre-med, but it's gap years nonetheless. So she really wanted to travel Europe, and that was going to be her gap year, and she was going to pass that off as finding herself, and that's how she was going to explain it to the admissions committee. But I recommended that she not travel and that she focus on gaining residency and doing some sort of volunteer activities and like everything that we just talked about. And she and I had this long discussion about why I would definitely recommend focusing on becoming the best applicant you can and not traveling. So I think that while it's great that you want to go out and, like, explore the world because you just finished a really intense undergrad and everything, I think that gap years is or should be used for becoming the best person you can on paper before an admissions committee meets you. So one of the things I would not recommend is taking time off and doing long-term, like, explorations. I would recommend not doing that because you don't want to be in front of an admissions committee one day and have to explain to them why you decided not to take classes and why you thought it was more important to not take this class that could have helped your GPA and go on a vacation instead, you know, because they might look at it and say, okay, well, you don't really seem very serious about this then. So that's one of the things that I would recommend not doing. I think traveling's great, but I would save that for maybe this summer before you're about to start school.
Yes.
So after you've been accepted.
Then the time's like, that's the time to party and like celebrate before you gotta jump into.
But I can see some people saying they want to travel a bit. You know, like coming out of undergrad, you're so exhausted and burnt out. Like, would it be bad to take that summer after undergrad and just travel a bit before instead of like doing a whole year long?
So I think that you also need to take into consideration when the application for ASDA is due.
That's true.
So I'm pretty sure it's due in the fall, I want to say, because then interviews start.
Yeah, it's like the earlier, the better. And I think it's like early July. If you can like get it in like end of June, early July, I think that's like a good place to be. And the earlier, the better.
And while you would have really great stories to tell the admissions committee, I think that you need to maximize as much time as you have during those gap years to really focus on becoming a better student because that's what they're interested in. So that sounds really harsh, but that's at least my take on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad to like travel or stuff like that. I think you can get away with that. It also is very dependent on your application. So I think if you're a really great applicant, your grades are really great, you've done a lot of activities and you're already in a really good position, then you could probably get away with justifying a longer trip or something like that. But I think for people like me, who I definitely had things that I needed to improve upon, it wouldn't have been smart for me to take a lot of time off and travel and stuff like that, because there was things that were glaringly obvious on my application that needed improvement. So
no, I think doing stuff like a medical mission or something, maybe you could do that and like incorporate dentistry or medical school into that and still travel, you know, but you need to have a good reason why you're doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, at the end of the day, you need to look at your gap years and kind of make decisions on what you're going to do during your gap years, as if you were explaining it to an admissions committee that's sitting in front of you, you know, because they are going to, like, you're going to write a summary of what you did during your gap
years. Yes, they ask you on the application, like, if you're a reapplicant, what you did during, I think there's a very specific question that's like, what did you do, basically? So you need to have stuff that you need to be able to fill that with and have a good reason for doing the things that you did. Yeah. We're going to help you. So,
another thing I would suggest is not slacking off. Like, gap year should not be your time off from school. I think that if you're, and gap year is like, it really does make you decide if you're serious about this profession. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest not slacking off and being like, oh, it's just a summer class. Like, it doesn't really count, because you're going to be required to take that transcript that you got from whatever university it is, and also send it to the school. So they're going to see all the grades. Mm-hmm. And also make sure that if you have a job, that you can get a recommendation from that job as well. So it's not like a required letter of recommendation from whatever short-term profession you had, but you can definitely email it to schools, which is what I did.
Yes.
So make sure that you are a pleasant person to work with.
Yes. I think that was one of the things that I kind of learned, was that you could send admission, like, don't overflow like their inbox with a lot of stuff. But if you maybe have one more letter of recommendation from somebody, like I had filled, because some of the schools are very specific on like the letters of rec that they want and who they want it from. But if you have one that, you know, from your job or from a volunteer experience, I did one from Give Kids a Smile, the woman who was in charge of that, and she wrote me a recommendation. So having even those like little things that you can bring along and supplement just the basic application and stuff like that, is it, everything will help you in your favor. Those are all things that are going to work in your favor. So I even brought like things that I do painting on the side. So like to demonstrate my hand skills, like I brought a couple pictures of like different paintings that I had done. And that was really cool. It was like something that was different and like made me stand out a little bit, because I'm sure there's not like a lot of people bringing in stuff to their interview and, you know.
Talk. What kind of painting? Oil on canvas?
Yeah, no, I do. It's more of like craft kind of thing. So okay. I've done like a couple of like canvases where it's been like a college like mascot, because my boyfriend and my dad are like really into college football. So nice. I've done like a painting of their mascots and stuff like that. And they like as gifts and stuff like that. But they really like it. So cool. It was a cool thing to talk about.
All right. So you said don't slack off. So would you bring more energy, more effort than you did in undergrad?
I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely would, because everybody who is going to dental school they're required to do undergrad, but not everybody is required to do gap years. So I think gap years is really your time to stand out and do things that you couldn't do during your undergrad. So I would bring more energy to it, and also more energy because you're probably going to start getting tired during gap years, and there are going to be times where you're going to think that it's not going to be worth it. So just having that extra boost and like the extra motivation is definitely going to be worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. Definitely have the energy going into it. Try to stay as positive as possible going through it, even on those times when it feels really rough and you're questioning why you're doing it. Bring the energy, bring your passion, and be able to just demonstrate that in the activities that you do during your gap year. And I think that will really show. I also had just like this like newfound confidence like coming into like my third year, when I felt like really great about my application. And I was like, I've done everything that I could do. I feel like this is the best it's going to be for me. It was just like this new confidence that I was able to like bring into the interviews and stuff, that I was like, I've got this. Like, I've done everything that like I think I could have done. And I'm in a good, really good place right now. You're just like in a good headspace where you know you've like focused on the things that you needed to focus on. You've improved on the stuff that you needed to improve upon. So coming into interviews, I was like, these are things that I've done. Like, I'm proud of it. I did really good work and stuff like that. And I've gotten a lot of experiences out of it. And now I'm just here to tell you about it and show you how passionate I am about it. And I think that definitely like shows when you're interviewing and talking to somebody one-on-one about it.
I think, yeah, I think that was one of the really great things during interviews, because you're looking at some people that you know are going to be undergrads, and you're like, shh, I got this. Like, I've worked with more difficult colleagues than this, you know, or like, I've seen a lot more stuff, or like, I've got more experiences than you.
Yep.
So it kind of gives you this, like this, I'm not necessarily better than people here, but I kind of am better than people here sort of vibe. Mm.
You just got confidence going into it. You just feel good about where you're at. So that's another reason to kind of take advantage of your gap years, so that when you're going into interviews and stuff, you're just in a really good place, and you're able to really talk about the things that you've done recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else?
What else not to do?
Yeah.
What else not to do?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything else right now.
I know, I don't really feel like you could go wrong with a lot of stuff. I think as long as you can relate whatever you've done back to some kind of aspect of dentistry, whether it be like the hands-on aspect, like in the clinical trials thing, I was working in the lab a lot of the time. So I was doing like pipetting really small amounts and stuff, and I was able to kind of talk about that research and stuff as like a hand skills kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of different ways that even if you're not doing something super dental related, that you can kind of like bring it back to dentistry and kind of make those connections. So I don't think it has to be, it doesn't really, I don't think you're super like limited on what you can do during your gap year. Just like Lindsay said, focus on the things that are going to better your application and put you in a better spot than you were after you graduated.
So one of the things that I would also recommend not doing is not applying every single cycle that you're out. So Priya and I talked about this yesterday where, so for the first year, Priya mentioned that she didn't really feel confident that she was going to get in, but she still applied. Second year, like, wasn't super confident, but you still apply. So I would really recommend, I know that it's going to, like, applying to dental schools is really, it can get very expensive.
Right.
But if you have the financial means, I would definitely suggest applying every single cycle, even if you're not applying necessarily to get in, like, if you're not confident in it. And I think that's really because you want to stay on the radar of schools because it shows up for them how many times you've applied to their school. Mm-hmm. So if you're showing them that you're willing to apply 3 times and you're not going to give up and you're just going to be stubborn about getting into school, then that really speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to go off track, but I want to ask it. So let's say you apply. Let's say you want to, your dream school is like in-state tuition-wise, ECU or UNC, but you get into like an out-of-state dental school.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have to go then?
So that actually happened to me before I got into UNC. And for me, I think it depends on what your financial status is and how much debt you're willing to take on. So that's very like person dependent. Uh-huh. But especially after applying 3 times, when I got that phone call, I got into a school in Arizona. I was like, that's where I'm going to go. Unless something else like works out, like I'm going to go there. So depends how bad, like if you really want to be a dentist and maybe you've applied a couple times, like I think going to wherever you're going to get in is a smart thing to do, even if it's going to cost a little bit. Like, that school was going to cost double or maybe close to triple what Carolina was. It was a private school in Arizona. So you definitely have to take those things into consideration and weigh how badly you want that. Mm. But if dentistry is really what you want to do, I mean, you can make a good living being a dentist. So you should be able, if you're smart with your money, you should be able to pay that off in a decent amount of time. But you're definitely going to have a little bit more debt maybe going to some of those other schools out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't have met Lindsay if you went to Arizona.
I would not have met
Lindsay.
Okay, so
here's an interesting story real quick. So Priya and I actually were on we went to the same interview.
Yep, same interview.
And Allie learned this whenever we were both accepted, and we went to lunch the summer before we actually started dental school. Okay, I'll kind of play out how it went. So Priya and I are sitting there at lunch, and, like, we're meeting students that are going to be in our class, but we don't really know anybody yet. It was just, like, on a group me.
Yeah.
And so Priya sits on next to me, and I was
Set the scene.
Okay. So we went to Root Cellar.
Wait, that's by Hunnam and MLK, right?
Yes.
By Flyleaf Books, okay.
Yes,
by the bookstore.
Yeah, so we went there because they don't cook in soy. And I was the one that...
Was that the reason why we went
So we went there because they didn't cook in soy. Because there was a group message that went up, and it had all 83 of us. in it. And some people were, like, suggesting to go to different restaurants. Yep. And somebody suggested, it was, like, one of the restaurants right near it, like, Lucha Tigre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like so, Korean-Mexican infusion.
Yeah, and it looked really good. But so I had to call the restaurant and see if they cooked in soy. And they do. And so I messaged the group and was like, hey, guys, I'm really sorry about this, but they cook in soy. Is there any way that we can move? Like, I don't want to cause a scene on the first time I meet everybody by going to the hospital. And so everybody was like, yeah, sure, that's fine. We'll go to Root Cellar. And I was like, okay, that's great. And so I get there, and I was really nervous about going anyways because I'm not an extrovert.
Yeah,
like, my idea was, you know what, like just push yourself a little bit. You should go. You're going to interact with these people for 4 years. Who knows?
Right.
You might really like somebody. And if you don't, you're still getting lunch. It's fine. Yeah. And so I sat down, and I was seriously, like, I was sweating profusely.
Were you?
No, I don't know what. I just get so nervous about meeting new people.
Yeah, it's like new people.
Because you don't know anybody. And so I remember I sat next to who I now know was Curtis, but it was this kid who had curly hair and glasses, and I was like, okay, he seems pretty nice. Like, it's fine.
He's normal.
Yeah. He doesn't seem dangerous. It's okay. And so I sat down next to him, and we started talking. And then I think you sat down next to Curtis.
Yeah.
Because you knew Curtis from undergrad.
Yeah, because I already knew Curtis.
And so I looked over at you, and I was like, hi, my name is Lindsay. And you go, yeah, no, we already met. I was like, oh, okay. And I think you started, like, you were like, yeah, you were in the February interview. Because
you had sat
you
down
Alabama.
Right next to me, and I remember
okay,
talking to you.
But I don't remember
you.
That at all, because I don't remember anything from that day except for who interviewed me. That was it. And walking upstairs and thinking,
so
please
funny.
Don't fall, please don't fall.
Well, it was unusual, because there's, like, most of the people at the Carolina interview are from North Carolina, so
yeah.
It was like, here's this girl from Alabama, and I was like, what are you doing here?
From Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, so
and
you
so,
stuck out.
So Priya was, like, starting to state facts about me.
Yeah, I knew things about you, because we had talked that day.
No,
and, like, had a conversation.
It was really weird, though. So I was like, okay,
it's not that weird.
This girl stopped me on Facebook. And so, but it turned out to be great. Like, it was such an interesting mix of people that went to lunch that day. Like, people from all different sort of groups now that you're like, oh, wow. That was like,
it was kind of funny.
A mix of everybody. Yeah. And so after lunch, the group kind of left, and Priya and I just, like, stuck around and sat and talked to each other for, like, 2 hours or something. And we had a lot in common, and it started there.
That was where the start.
So,
I got
so
to meet
Priya
my
technically
friend.
Has known me longer than I've known her. So. But yeah, that's how it started.
That's too funny. So. Yeah. That was the story of Priya and Lindsay.
Yep. Just a little side note there. I knew I was going to share it today.
All right, what else do you want to talk about? Self-care. I want to talk about self-care.
Self-care?
Yeah, I feel like, for me at least, I feel like one thing I don't want to do, but I feel like I'm very prone to doing, like, in the gap year. So, like, my thing is I'm going to be out of the cycle of, like, classes and in college, the cycle. Most of my friends are going to go out of state and be doing their own thing, and I feel like I'll just be slumped on my bed and just watching Netflix or just, like, being depressed. And my thing is, like, I don't want to do that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about self-care and, like, what you guys would do to make sure you're on track and motivated.
Priya, do you want to start?
I was going to say it might be good to have a routine. So when I was home in Charlotte, like, I mean, I guess I was taking physics and I have a job. But, like, having those activities where you're kind of, like, it forces you into a schedule keeps you away from, like, binging in Netflix till, like, 2.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, having some kind of schedule that's created, whether it be work, whether it be school, whether it be volunteer activities, just having things throughout your week or throughout your day that you know are going to be, like, continuous activities, that, like, keeps you in that kind of same-ish undergrad kind of mentality where you've got stuff going on. I would also say, like, have a kind of routine. So, like, I would go to the gym most days, like, after school or after nannying and stuff. I would go straight to the gym and then, like, would eat dinner. And then that, like, and then after that would be my time to, like, just hang out and relax and stuff like that. So just try to build, like, a schedule. If you're somebody who, like, needs that schedule, like, try to be disciplined in it and, like, try to have activities that you know are going to be happening every week or every month or something like that. So you have some kind of semblance of, like, a schedule and a routine, and that kind of helps with, like, keeping yourself disciplined.
Yeah, I would recommend that if the dental school is near you, so, like, Priya lived in Charlotte and then Chapel Hill, so it was pretty near her when she lived in Chapel Hill. Priya was telling me that she would sometimes walk by the dental school, and she would actually see dental students working in the sim lab. So I think that if you can either, like, physically visit the school every now and then, mm-hmm. or if you can, like, I don't know, like, visit the website or, like, anything to, like, visualize that the school is right there, you know? And it's just mm-hmm. not, like, some far away off land. Like, it's a real thing that you're working towards.
Yeah. Are you staying in Chapel Hill for your
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay, so you'll be, like, close to the school. I mm-hmm. really liked when I moved back up here that I still, like, knew some of the dental students here. And, like, we'll be here and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to, like, kind of keep in contact with people and, like, meet up with people. And, like, we do events all the time mm-hmm. and stuff like that. There's always stuff going on at the dental school. So maybe if you can, like what Lindsay was saying, just, like, keep in contact with the school and, like, keep in contact with dental students and stuff like that, that'll help you kind of.
Yeah, I would also say don't be too hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. So like you talked earlier about feeling like you might have way too much on your plate and that you have to get everything done. Yeah. I think that if you were to, at the beginning of like your gap years, if you were to write out some goals for yourself mm-hmm. and then maybe write out like quarterly goals about how you're going to attain those. So if it's volunteering that you have to do, like go ahead and print out a list of different volunteer events in the area and mm-hmm. highlight the ones that you want to go to, like, and start making a schedule or something, mm-hmm. you know, but like write down your goals and know that you're not going to be able to completely redo undergrad or mm-hmm. that, like there, and there also, I think you need to keep in mind that there is no ideal applicant, no matter what like student.network says.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Check that blog. That, like
that's another thing not to do. Please don't ever read that blog. Like half that information is false.
Really? Or just extremely biased because the people who are posting on there are like the people who have like perfect stats and everything. Yeah. And they're like freaking out cause they only got into like 15 schools and like, that was super discouraging to see sometimes, like, especially when you're reapplying and you're like, I haven't gotten into a single school and here are these people who have. So definitely take that blog with a grain of salt. And
I also think talking to students that I've been through before, so, like, talking to some of the dental students, like, talking to the dental, like, administrative staff here, like, the counselors, that can be kind of overwhelming sometimes because they know what it's like to look at an ideal applicant, but sometimes like they haven't necessarily gone through it themselves, so they don't really understand the struggle. But if you talk to dental students, then they might be able to kind of guide you and be like, okay, well, this is what I did, and it did or did not work out well for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that, like you said, like constant communication
is a really great thing. Staying in contact. I loved being able to like to be in walking distance to the school and stuff like that. And like just knowing people, I got lucky that I knew people from undergrad who had like gotten in while I've been in my gap years and stuff. So they were able to kind of give me advice. But I talked to a lot of dental students to kind of like ask them about my application and stuff. If they had helpful hints about like a specific school I was interviewing at, like dental students can be, they're usually super helpful and like they want you to get in, like they want to help and they will go over and beyond. Like I was just amazed at how the people that I knew at UNC when I was like in the period of interviewing, and which I would just send them like a Facebook message and be like, hey, like, do you have any helpful hints? And like some people would write out like huge like emails and stuff, or would offer to meet and go grab coffee to talk about and like practice interview. It's amazing like how helpful dental students can be. Like you just have to reach out, just reach out to us. And I think any of us would be willing to help you in any way that we can. So keep in contact with them. Another thing that I learned that's kind of like unrelated, but if you're going to take a gap year, make sure that you're like editing your application. Don't submit the same application. If you're fix your personal statement, have it where you're including things from your gap year. That was a piece of advice that I got, I think, from the pre-health advisor. She said, make sure that your experiences and stuff that you're getting in your gap year, make sure you're incorporating those into your personal statement and your application. Short answer, I know there's the secondary application. Make sure you're incorporating the things that you've done during that time into those answers. And don't just like repeat and send the same stuff that you sent your first year. It's really important to incorporate those new experiences into those type of things.
I would also suggest, so sometimes whenever you are in your gap years and you haven't heard back from the schools for a long time, you start getting discouraged and like thinking that they forgot about you. So you can definitely reach out to them. Mm-hmm. Like there are admission specialists whose job it is to answer your emails or answer your questions or to meet up with you. Like, they are paid by the school to do that, so it's okay to reach out to them. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like you're overwhelming them. I'm definitely don't send them emails like
yeah, don't
week.
Be like,
and be like so how does it look
am
this
I in?
Week?
Am I in?
Yeah, they'll just block you. But it's definitely okay to like ask them if they can meet up like every couple of months, and just to kind of go over questions with you. So yeah.
Yeah, I met with in person both, I think, the advisor at UNC and the one at ECU a couple times, and they were willing to set up in person like meetings where we could talk about my specific like application and things that they would suggest about improving my application.
So I guess don't feel like you're ever alone, because you're not. Even though gap years can feel very lonely, there are definitely people out there that want to help you. And like for dental students, if you don't know who to reach out to, every dental school has a ASDA pre-dental chair. So you can just, you can visit the school or you can type in ASDA pre-dental chair of and then insert dental school name. And it'll come up. And that person usually has an email address where everybody has a Facebook. And you can just contact them directly because they are there to help pre-dental students. So there are a lot of people that you can reach out to, but I would just recommend not being afraid to reach out.
Yeah, don't hesitate. The worst case scenario is they're not helpful.
They don't reply.
They don't reply. So that's all you have to lose by reaching out to somebody. So I wish I would have. It was weird in undergrad. I don't ever feel like I heard many stories about gap years and stuff. Like, that's kind of what I said in the beginning. So it seemed like a very foreign concept and sometimes could kind of feel like I was a failure for not getting in off of my first try and stuff. So I wish I had heard more stories, because if you look at the average like breakdowns for a lot of schools will post their like data sheets about average age and like the number of males and females and in state and out of state.
Average GPA, average DT.
And so one of the things on there is average age. And if you look at those for a lot of schools, it's like 24, 25. So that must mean that there's a good number of people that are having to go back and retake classes or taking time off and stuff like that. So you're definitely not, like Lindsay said, you're not alone at all. It's a common thing, and it's unfortunate that we don't really hear so much about it. But I hope there's more stuff like this podcast and stuff that kind of spreads the word that gap years are something. It's a reality for a lot of dental students, and it's just kind of part of the process. So you just make the most of it, and you're not alone in the process. And it works out in the end. You just got to stay really persistent and kind of persevere through any of the obstacles that you might kind of experience during.
Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I don't know. Do you have any other questions
as a
gap year coming up pre-dental student?
No, I think you
As a pre-dental, do you have any questions?
Burning questions.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think you guys did a very good job of like completely outlining out what to expect and not to do in gap year. So,
Also, just a little shout out. Just my own little shameless plug over here. If anybody has questions or just wants to talk about pre-dental gap years, or if you should take one, or kind of like what to do during gap years, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. I am more than willing to answer any questions people have. If you live in the area, I'm more than willing to meet up with you and kind of discuss. And if this podcast is helpful and anybody wants to learn more about gap years or has like specific questions, I would absolutely love to answer those. So if you just go to andtoothbetool.com, there are contact pages and buttons on almost every single page. So if you just submit a question, then I'll receive it and I'll reply back to that. So, yeah.
I can vouch for Lindsay. She's a very helpful person. She loves helping people. So she would
I love it. I am so passionate about helping students.
She gets like such
students.
A big smile about like helping people when people reach out to her.
Every time I get an email that somebody has posted a question, I'm like, oh, yes, Priya, look at this. So
She's very excited about helping pre-dental students to reach out. What's your contact information is on?
Yep. So, if you go to andtoothbetool.com, there is a contact me section on the bottom of every page. So you just type out your question, and I think it requires that you send your email address as well so that I can contact you back. And I will get that to my inbox, and I will reply back to you within a couple of days.
There you go.
Because exams are coming up. So.
Yeah. You replied pretty fast when I emailed you the same way you just described. Yeah, it was like 2-3 days.
Yeah.
Was that how you found Lindsay?
Yeah, that's how I emailed
her. How did you find the blog to begin with?
So UNC is pre-dental. They sent out that email.
Oh, that is right.
Yeah. And I read it. I was like, this is cool.
Yeah, I've been sending out that same email to a bunch of schools nationwide. So, and everybody is like super, super grateful that there is a blog out there because I feel like there are a lot of stuff for pre-med students, but not necessarily pre-dental students.
Yes.
And pre-dental is like a whole nother beast.
Yeah. Right.
So.
And this is much better than what you guys just said with student.network.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No. Because all that stuff is anonymous too.
Right. Yeah.
So people can post whatever they want on there.
I remember on app. Okay. Last story. So, on the day that we were supposed to be getting phone calls about if we got into school or not, I remember searching that blog so hard, the Student Pre-Dental Network, whatever thing, and they were like, somebody had posted at like, I think it was 8:15 in the morning or something, all the calls have already gone out. If you haven't received a call yet, you're not getting into school.
Like, how do those people know? Are you on the admissions committee?
Work and literally started tearing up because I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten
that
in.
That is so annoying.
And somebody else posted and was like, this is false information. I just called Carolyn Oakes and this is not true. And I was just like, I was just having mixed emotions. I mean, then I got in and I was like, okay, never listen to that again.
Never yet. Don't go. One thing I will say is that blog is very helpful as while I was preparing for interviews, there will be, there's like a page, I think, for each school. And a lot of the schools actually are very variable in how they have their interview set up and stuff. So it was actually a really good source to have as like the typical interview questions asked at that school. I think they even have like the format of the interview and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Per each school, and then have people like comment on their different experiences and the stress level of it and stuff. And I did actually find that stuff to be pretty accurate to my experiences. And I got to interview at a good number of schools, so I feel like I got a pretty good like sample of stuff. And I think for every single one of those schools I interviewed at, they had something on that website. So there are.
So you're saying only use it for that?
Yes, okay. I would say I think that was the only thing that I found it actually like accurate, reliable, and like helpful. All of the stuff, like all of the blogs. I mean, I know there's people out there that use it and like will go by it, but I just, to me, it stressed me out, and I just,
because then you start comparing yourself
to
strangers.
Yeah, it's so hard not. And like you said, anyone can post anything on there, and you're gonna get a sample of people who are really proud of the stuff that they've done, and if they've done really well, then of course they're going to be the people that are going to be posting on there. So it's a very, like, biased sample of people. So don't get caught up in what you see on there and stuff like that, because they're not on the admissions committee. So they don't know when the phone calls are going out or when they end and stuff like that. So take it with a grain of salt, but interview stuff was helpful on there.
We're going to post the link of this episode on that forum. Check this out.
Well, that's a good idea.
We just bash the blog.
I'll be like the gold member. Well, thank you, Priya, for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your relaxful 3-day weekend. But I think that a lot of the stuff that you said was really helpful. And I think it definitely will help pre-dental students who are kind of on the decision-making, like teeter-totter, if they're going to take gap years or what to do during gap years and what not to do. So
thank you. Thank you both of y'all for organizing this and putting this together. I know it's going to be a big help for people. And like I said, I wish there had been something like this when I was applying, because it would have at least put my mind at ease that there's other people who have gone through the same kind of struggles. So just know you're not alone. Power through. Try to do your best and then be able to show that to your admissions committee just why you love dentistry and why you can't imagine like doing anything else. But thank you guys for having me today. I really enjoyed it. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an honor having you, Priya.
Well, thank you.
And if you guys have any more questions, concerns, or want to read some more gap year stories, I'm going to be uploading a few from our classmates, actually. So if you have any questions, want to hear more, want to shout out to me, anything like that, please visit andtoothbetold.com, and we will see you guys later.